Psalms chapter 23. We've been in Psalms 23 for quite some time. We didn't really intend on it being a several part message, but it has turned out to be, and I believe very timely. I believe God has sent it to our church for such a time as this to help us get refocused, help us get refired and refreshed and restored, and just helping us with it. Amen. And I know it's a very familiar scripture. Probably several in the service today can quote it probably. But don't let the familiarity of the scripture rob it of your attention. Verse 1, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." I want you to notice that. It's where we'll be this morning. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, I like that, don't you? Amen. Thank God for our shepherd. I'm interested this morning in verse 5. We have noticed how the shepherd meets the needs of every sheep. He is our sufficiency. In verse number 1, we preached, I don't know, 2 or 3 messages out of verse 1 on the fact that He takes care of our emptiness. He meets the needs of our emptiness. Boy, I'm glad He's still in charge of meeting the needs of our emptiness. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Hallelujah. Not just at salvation, but through your life. Throughout the Scriptures, you find Him taking empty things and filling them. You can find where He took a multitude in John 6 that were hungry, meaning they were empty. They were lacking. And there was no place to get anything, but yet Jesus took a little small lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and fed the multitude, and guess what else was there? There was 12 empty baskets there, and He filled them. So I'm glad Jesus has got a record of filling empty things. The sure way of getting filled is to get empty. We're talking about after you get saved. You get empty of yourself and empty of flesh and empty of worldly desires, and God will fill you. But anyway, in verse 1, we find that He fills and takes care of our emptiness. And then in verse number 2, we notice that He takes care of our essentials. Those things that are necessary for sheep to survive, He takes care of that. He meets the needs that we have, and I thank God for that. And then in verse number 3, the Bible says, "He restoreth my soul," and that means He takes care of our errors. When we err, when we drift, when we go astray, as sheep are so prone to do, I'm glad we have a shepherd that the Bible said restores us, brings us back, turns us back, and gets us back where we need to be. And then in verse number 4, we noticed that He takes care of our endangerments. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley." I like that. I want to emphasize it again. I like the word through. The valley is not permanent. It's just a passage. To go through something has an entrance as well as an exit. Don't get sidetracked with what you're going through as much as you're looking forward to the getting out of it. And most of the time when we go through something, God is trying to teach us something. And the quicker we learn it, a lot of times we get out of it. Or God will take us out of that exit and get us out of it. Sometimes God lets us go through things to surface things that are in our heart. If you go through something and I go through something and all of a sudden we quit praying, reading our Bible and get slack in our church attendance and a number of other things we could add to that list, what we went through didn't cause that. What we went through just manifested that. What we went through only surfaced that. And so sometimes God will allow a storm and a trial and some endangerments, if you will, to come into our life to where it will bring to the surface some areas that we need to focus our attention on that we're slack in. Amen? Because if we falter in the way, if we fall by the wayside in as we go through things, it is not that what we're going through is greater than what we can bear, because God said that He would not do that. God knows our limitations and He knows our boundaries. He knows our breaking point. And so if we go through something and we collapse, it's not God. It's not the problem is bigger than our ability to stand, but rather it is our weaknesses. Proverbs said, if you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The fainting only revealed the weakness. So we find in verse 4 that there's times that we go through endangerments, but always know this. As a child of God, you do not go through these endangerments alone. Because in this verse, the psalmist David said, Thou art with me. Thank God. Well, we ought to have the attitude of Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Amen. You can make it if He's with you. Amen. And if He's not with you, you couldn't make it even in the sunshine. You couldn't make it even in the pleasant times. Amen. Oh yes, there are those endangerments. And they're very real. They're very real. And you're not going through those things alone because as a sheep, look around, there's other sheep going through there with you. Amen. A lot of times you think, I'm the only one in this. I don't know why I'm saying all this. You think, I'm the only one in this. I'm the only one that feels this way. I'm the only one that's facing this. I'm alone in this matter. Well, that's not what the Bible says. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Amen? That's right. The Bible talks about in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it is, where it talks about the devil as a roaring lion. Said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then the next verse says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So not only when you're going through those endangerments, you can say to God, Thou art with me, but sheep travel in a flock, and sheep are not loners. Hey, let me testify right here a minute. Sheep are not loners. God don't save anybody and put them out there by themselves to make it on their own. No, sir. You need other sheep. You need that fellowship. You need that association. I have a problem with those that claim to be sheep, But they always want to run with goats. I got problems with those that claim in claim only to be a sheep, but yet they have goat ways. And they have a goat appetite. And a goat nature. And goat associations. But sheep love to run with sheep. And I'm thankful that God put that in my heart several years ago to be in the house of God with God's people. That's my crowd. That dancing crowd's not my crowd. That drinking crowd's not my crowd. That doping crowd is not my crowd. Amen. That loose living crowd is not my crowd. That liberal church crowd is not my crowd. Amen. Thank God I'm interested in going with God. Amen. But as we come into verse 5, if I don't get on into it, I'm not going to get to it. Amen. Boy, this chapter is so rich with practical truth. But in verse 5, the Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." So the Lord takes care of our emptiness. He takes care of our essentials. He takes care of our errors. Boy, I'm glad of that. We ought to shout about that. If He hadn't take care of mine, I wouldn't be here today. Thank God He's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I can't even hardly give the points without wanting to preach on them some more. Amen. But He deals with our errors. And then hallelujah. And then He takes care of our endangerments. But here we note today that He takes care of our enemies. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. I want to note some things here about how that God takes care of our enemies. And I do want to say that we have enemies. Now the enemies that are mentioned and referred to in this verse are enemies that are enemies simply because they are sheep. Enemies just because they're sheep. Not the enemy is a sheep, but the enemy is an enemy to the sheep because the sheep are sheep. That's deep, isn't it? Amen? You cannot be a sheep and have Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your shepherd without having enemies. Boy, would I love to be able to share and tell Miss Shannon that just got saved yesterday by her own profession, I should say, that everything's going to be wonderful. Or as we'd say in the mountains of North Carolina, everything's going to be hunky-dory. But it's not that way. Now that you get saved, you are a sheep and He is your shepherd. And as a result of that, the consequences of that is you have enemies. You have spiritual enemies. You have physical enemies. Are you listening? I mean, I'm just giving broad, general classifications. Spiritual enemies, that would include devil, demons, and so on. Then you have physical enemies in that when you look in the mirror, you see your greatest. Amen. So you, just because you're an enemy, can you see that in your life? When you got saved, you saw yourself different. You saw a warfare coming out of yourself against your spiritual life. Peter writes it like this, the fleshly lust that wars against the soul. Amen? And I believe the success and the survival of sheep is having your enemies dealt with. Now there's a contrast between the enemies referred to here in this passage and some of our enemies. The enemies that are referred to in this passage of Scripture, in this verse, they come and they haunt and they They caused the sheep all kind of problems by taking advantage of the sheep. They don't ask the sheep. They don't get an agreement from the sheep. They take advantage of the sheep. Wolves don't ask the sheep, "Can I eat you today?" Huh? Wolves don't do that. No, coyotes don't do that. Those different parasites that we'll look at in a moment, they don't ask. They just invade and they take advantage of the weakness and the vulnerability of sheep. But the enemies that you have and I have as sheep, they don't take advantage of us. They don't come and take advantage of us without our consent. Now we look at that sheep and the parasites, the sheep and the wolves and the sheep and those flies and stuff that they have such trouble with in the summertime. And we'd think, wow, that'd be very foolish, sheep, if you'd look over at that wolf and give him consent. You can get a bite. Or to say to those flies that wants to lay their eggs in the mucous membranes of their nose, say, here it is, have some. You'd say, that'd be foolish, preacher. But that's what we do many times as Christians. We give consent. And by the way, you've got enemies. Can I name the three that really the Bible emphasizes is the world, the flesh, and the devil? Are you listening? Those three have always been enemies of God. But look at how many in our churches that are friends with at least two of them. I don't know anybody that's friends with the devil. I don't know anybody that's got his cell phone number and send him texts every day. No, most people would say, "Oh no, preacher, devil ain't my friend." But can you say that about the world? Worldliness is killing our churches. I'm against it. All 160 pounds of me is against it. Amen. Jesus said it this way through the Apostle James in the Word of God. If you are a friend of this world, you are an enemy of God. Now that's strong. That's strong language. That's strong terminology. Jesus saying you can't court this world and the world's system and the world's desires and the world's direction and love me. The world, this world and Jesus are not on the same page. In fact, they're not even in the same book. Why? Listen, I was worldly before I got saved. I didn't know nothing else. I had a fallen, depraved, sinful nature, and to be a sinner was as natural as a dog barking. I mean, it was natural. And I liked it, and I loved it, and I lived for it, being worldly. But when I got saved, as you got saved, God changes your relationship to this world. Amen. But I'm not going to preach all day on that. I could. Worldliness is invading our churches. And preachers, all for the sake of having a crowd, have quit preaching it. Well, quit preaching against worldly music and worldly immodesty. Amen. They don't preach against that no more. And I tell you, the number one reason, there's several reasons, but the number one is they don't live it themselves. I wouldn't have a preacher 5 minutes to preach to me or my family that didn't dress right. I wouldn't have a preacher 2 minutes to preach to me and my family that would go on Saturday night and listen to Conway or whoever else of that bunch and then come in here and try to preach the gospel to me. Are you listening? That's exactly right. The fault of America is not in the White House. The fault of America is in the pulpit of God's houses. God's men have become hirelings. God's men have become puppets. God's men have rolled over for a paycheck and are scared to death to preach because they're afraid of the women's auxiliary. They're afraid of the deacon board. And as a result, yes, we may have church buildings with crowds, but where's the church? Amen. Well, the world is our enemy. The flesh is our enemy. How many of us treat our flesh as our enemy? How many looks in the mirror and says to that one in the mirror, "Not mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" No. But to look at that mirror and point to that one in the mirror, and you'll notice when you do that, the one in the mirror is pointing back at you, and you say to that one in the mirror, "You and your desires and your nature is against me spiritually. You're an enemy." But no, we'll treat our flesh as a friend. Whatever feels good to it. Whatever it wants, whatever it likes, and so on. So the world, the flesh, and the devil are our enemies. Or our enemies. Did you know that the sheep are by nature defenseless? Did you know a sheep is so vulnerable that they have no defense system? I mean, even us here today, we've got some kind of defense. A sheep don't have any defense. The weakest one it's got is really the strongest one it's got, and that is to run. And they can't run very fast. And they can't run very far. So they know it's just a matter of, you know, just wait. And the enemy, the prey, will catch them. The pursuer will catch them. The one that's after them will catch them. So they really are defenseless other than the shepherd. The shepherd is our defense. Several times through the book of Psalms, David talks about God being our defense. And you know what a defense is. It's between you and the opponent. Amen. Thank God for that. That's what a defender is. He gets between us and the problem and takes our case to be his, and he becomes our defense. The sheep have enemies, and we're defenseless. You say, "But preacher, I think the sheep has got one other part of defense. He can cry." And they do that some. They will bleed out when there's danger or when something is going on. They'll bleed out, of course. Praise God, we can cry today. We can pray and cry out to God. Cry out to our shepherd. But even at times, the Bible talks about sheep in the Bible being led to the slaughter and opening not their mouth. Many times sheep are known as just even being led to destruction and not even saying nothing, making no sounds. That's how vulnerable you are and I am as a sheep. My friend, the enemies of our soul, the enemies of our spiritual life, they could, my friend, wreak havoc in our life. And if we're not careful, we won't open our mouth. We won't open our mouth to pray or nothing. God help us. The other somewhat defense, and it's not really a defense, is, of course, I mentioned they're running, and I mentioned they're crying. But another one that's not really a defense, but it helps, is to stay with the flock. When a sheep wanders off on its own, the scope and the crosshairs of the enemy leaves that flock and goes to that individual. Boy, I want to tell you, the devil wants you to get away from the flock. Get away from the fold. I read in a book, Brother Man, I might give me that. They're already gone. You give me that book about young people today. How that many of them have in their mind already, as growing up in our churches, that they're just anticipating the age that they can leave. 88%, I've got the document with me, 88% of young people today, by the time they reach 18 years old, leave church, never to return. 88%. That's almost 9 out of 10. Devil says, won't you just, you don't need to go to church all the time. Devil tell you, your flesh will tell you, you know, this bed feels really good Sunday morning, and the couch looks good, and there's a big show on and a game on, and you know, the sun's out, and I just really think I could do away with not have to go today. Could I ask you something? Who do you think's telling you that? I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I think with just a little bit of evaluation of that concept, I believe you could pretty well discern who it is that's telling you that. Right. And you can discern that by the process of elimination. Do you think it'd be God telling you you don't need to go to church? Do you think the Holy Ghost would say, you know, that preacher's prayed all week and he's got a message from God, but you don't need it. You just stay at the house. You go out the lake, go fishing. You know, you don't really need to go to church. He'll give that message to them that do need it. You think the Holy Spirit tell you that? No. I want to tell you that, no, sir. Because God's Word says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen? When it's church going time, and all of a sudden that flesh gets to feeling a little bit like it wants to go horizontal, guess who's behind that? Guess who's behind that? Does anybody know how quiet it's getting in here besides me? Who do you think is going to tell you to stretch out instead of go to the house of God? Amen? Oh yes, what it takes to stop you tells a lot about you. Amen. I said, preacher, I don't know about all that. Well, that's the truth. Amen. We've got enemies. I tell you why I want to go to church. I want to be in the thick of the flock. I want to be right in the middle. Amen. So that when the enemy looks, he don't see one, but he sees several. And the enemy says, you know, I don't know if I want to tango with all that crowd. I don't know if I want to tackle that crowd. And I tell you, our church, are y'all paying attention? Our church ought to be so close in unity and love and harmony and relationship and fellowship to where there's a one voice coming out of this church that says to the devil and the world and the flesh, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Amen? Is that the truth? Well, that ought to be the desire. So when we've got enemies, running, it's not really much of a defense. Crying, not much of a defense. Staying with the flock is probably the better of the three. Don't run. Just stay thick and close together. But I want to tell you, our verse shows us that our enemies, or our defense, is the shepherd. Amen. That's right. Sheep can't fight. They can't fight. Sheep are not fighters unless they fight one another. And I'm going to deal with that a little later on. Probably won't get to it in this message. They'll butt heads. They're head butters. Amen. Well, I don't want to go to church. They're butting heads down there. Well, that's normal. That's normal, isn't it? That's what that oil's for. But anyway, the enemies, we need our enemies taken care of and dealt with. No enemy that would threaten the sheep that the shepherd can't handle. In fact, I could say this. There's no enemy that would threaten the sheep that the shepherd hasn't already handled. He's already handled death, hell, and the grave. Amen. He's already given us victory over the flesh. He's already given us victory over the world. And He's already given us victory over the devil. Amen. Well, let me just deal with this if I could. I want to say first of all this morning, if y'all are listening. How is it that the shepherd deals with my enemies? I want to know that. Number one, He does so by His appearance. By His presence. The Bible said there in verse 4, Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then goes right out of that verse, right into verse 5, talking about the enemies. What is it about the shepherd that offers a defense? His person or His presence. Have you ever heard this word? Intimidation. I come from Rosman, North Carolina. Go Tigers, amen. Felt a little of that come out, amen. Rosman Tigers. Some of y'all wake up tomorrow, you'll catch some of that. Get the CD, you'll find out what you missed. But we was a small school, Brother Carroll. I believe it's 52 people in my graduating class. But oh man, we had spirit. And our football team wasn't real big. We just wasn't big at all. And a lot of times, I still remember it plain as day, we'd go out on the field, and you know, of course, we're in just a little small town, had two red lights, and both of them was plugged in the same socket. But I mean, I made fun of our town being so small that the welcome sign and leaving sign was on the same sign. And I made that as a joke, but sure enough, it is. I've seen it, my own eyes. On one side it says welcome, and on the other side it says leaving. That's how small our town is. Amen. That's a fact. But Brother Bill, we'd get out, we'd go out, we'd come out of the locker room, we'd hear our coach, you can do it! Man, I mean, he'd have us fired up, we'd be growling like tigers. Amen. Screaming, man, let's get it, let's do it. Amen. They'd open that field house door and out on the field we'd run like we was going to conquer the wall! And all of a sudden we'd see that big bus pull out on the other end of the field. And I still remember the last team I ever played in high school was the Robbinsville Black Knights. They lived up to their name. They walked off of the bus, and about every one of them had to duck their head to get out from under the door. They stepped out on the field, and I got to looking at my team, and I got to looking at their team, and you know what I felt immediately? Intimidated. You know why? Because I was looking at their size. I was measuring them up by the field goal post. Amen. I was watching them and I was seeing how big they were and I was intimidated. Well, the sheep don't intimidate the enemy. World's not intimidated by us. The devil's not intimidated by us. And even the flesh is not intimidated by us. But I want to tell you, there's one among us whose name is Jesus, our wonderful, great, and good shepherd. I want to tell you, He stands taller. He stands greater than all of the sheep put together. And I want to tell you, the enemy knows to mess with the sheep. He's going to have to mess with the shepherd. He's going to have to go through the shepherd to get to the sheep. And when the enemy views the shepherd, how big he is. So Jesus, our shepherd, deals with the enemy by appearance. Thou art with me. He's with us. The enemy notices the shepherd is with us. That's why it's very important that you go with him. That's why it's very important that you stay close to him. It's so that when the enemy looks for someone vulnerable and looking for a lunch meal, and they would notice that you're close to the shepherd, they won't pick you. Are you listening? They won't pick you. So he deals with the enemy by the fact that he is with us, and just his presence and his appearance strikes intimidation to the wolves and the coyotes and the bears. Amen. I remember reading about David. David's testified in Psalms, or not Psalms, but 1 Samuel 17, when he was dealing with Goliath. He talked about the lion and the bear that had come and stolen one of the sheep, one of the lambs out of the flock. And David himself was a shepherd. You know what he did? He went and caught the bear and caught the lion and ripped them apart and got the sheep out of their mouth. There's not an enemy, Brother Rob, that causes our shepherd to shake. He's not afraid of the bear and the wolves and the lions. He's not afraid, my friend, of, listen, they're not big enough to scare him. I like it, don't you? And watch this right here. When David said, "Thou art with me," David said, "I've got the shepherd with me, and his presence intimidates and keeps at bay the enemy." You know what it means when you have him? David said, "Thou art with me." You know what it means when it says that he's with you? That means that when you have him, you have all that he is, and you have all that he can do. Now don't get blessed by that too much. When you've got Jesus, you've got all of His abilities. When you've got Jesus, you have got, my friend, His authority. When you've got Jesus, you've got His awareness. Amen. When you have Him, you have His eyes. When you have Him, you have His ears. When you have Him, you have His mind. When you have Him, you have His mouth. When you have Him, you have His feet, His hands, His shoulders, His strength. No wonder the enemy fears. No wonder the enemy, my friend, don't want to tackle you until he gets you at a distance from your shepherd. Because to have the shepherd, you've got all that he is and all that he can do. Alright? Amen? And I want to say he's not some little weak, wimpy shepherd either. Amen? He stands taller than all the sheep. But not only does he deal with the enemy through his appearance, but he deals with the enemy through aggression. I already mentioned about how that David got aggressive to deal with the bear and the lion. He didn't just stand by and say, "Well, that's just one. No problem." The shepherd don't want to lose one. The shepherd don't want to lose one. In fact, Luke 15, we have the example where the shepherd goes out looking for one. Leaves the 99 in the fold and goes through the wilderness and through the night and through the hard times looking for that one that is lost. Oh yes, he's aggressive. And I get that from the fact the Bible said in verse 4, the last part of verse 4, the Bible said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now how is it that a rod is going to comfort him? That rod was his weapon. That rod was like a club. The staff is the one that has the crook in it that we all would notice or have heard about with a shepherd. But the rod is like a club. And that club, that rod, is like an extension of their arm. They can use it well. They're very accurate with it. When it needs to be thrown, they can throw it with great accuracy. And the enemy don't want to tackle the sheep because of our shepherd. Because he's got a club. Amen? The Bible even talks about the Word of God being like a hammer that breaks. Amen. I'll tell you, the devil don't want to tackle the sheep because the shepherd is aggressive. The shepherd is aggressive. The shepherd, my friend, has a rod that he will hurt the sheep, hurt the enemy with, and hinder the enemy. It's a type of the Word of God. Type of the Word of God. Amen. Well, I'm glad of that. Boy, the sheep stand around, they're feeding, all around them is presence of evil, all around them is enemies, and they look around and they look up there on the hill and they see the shepherd and they say, "You know what? He's got all it takes. He's equipped. He's got all it takes. He's got his staff. He's got his rod. He can do it. There's not an enemy that that club can't handle. Amen. So he deals with our enemies with his appearance or intimidation. He deals with our enemies with his aggression or confrontation. But he also deals with our enemy, I like this, with his arrangement. With his arrangement. You'll see where I'm going with that in a moment. His arrangement or his preparation. Verse 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy." That word "preparest" means to arrange. It means to put in order, to prepare. I like this word, to furnish. Boy, I want to tell you, he can furnish a table. Those high country feeding grounds of those sheep that they go up to in the summertime, those are called tablelands. Those are called tablelands. And Miss Parsons shared this with me last Sunday night when we preached out of verse 4. I believe it was her daddy had raised sheep and fooled with sheep. And she said, "Preacher, those sheep always started eating low, and they always work their way to the highs." Just like even with the sheep in Psalm 23, they would always start in the low country feeding. But then when it became summertime, they would make their way through those small ravines and small valleys, referred to as the valleys of the shadow of death. They'd make their way through that to the high country. Literally, they were eating their way to the top. Boy, I like that. She told me that. I wrote that down. I said, I'll have to use that. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad our shepherd specializes in feeding his sheep. Can I say this morning, thank God our shepherd don't like starving sheep. Our shepherd don't want us to be going to the world to feed, because that makes him look bad. See, that's one reason I preach against worldliness and, amen, because it makes Jesus look bad. You're as if saying, "He can't feed me. He can't satisfy me. He can't give me what I need, so I've got to go to the world to feed." But I want to tell you, the Bible says that He is the one that prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He's the one that furnishes. He's the one that puts it in order and arranges for us to be able to have eaten. Every direction the shepherd takes the sheep, feed is always the driving motive. I'm going to take you to where you need. I'm going to take you where you need. A lot of times when we send out letters to visitors or whatnot, we'll send out letters and we'll say something in those letters, usually, not everyone, but sometimes we'll say something in there about, feel free to come again where you can be fed the Word of God. Where you can be fed and where you can be challenged, your faith to be challenged. I like what Sister Diane Getty said one time when she was testifying to be a member here. She said, "You have to stretch." I still remember that. I've told that all over this country. Amen. Said, "You got to stretch." That's right. You don't want to go to a church where you can just slide in and plop down and feel comfortable. You want to go to a church that's got preaching, my friend, that's going to pull you to a deeper walk with God. That, my friend, is going to make you feel uncomfortable with contentment and make you desire to go further with God than you've ever been. Thank God. He deals with the enemy, watch this, by our preparation or by our arrangement. You know how the devil, listen to this, this is good. You know how the shepherd deals with our enemy, Brother Frankie? By feeding the sheep. Because it's being done in the presence of the enemy. They're watching. They're watching. They're observing, but they cannot hinder. If you're not eating, whose fault is it? If you're not feeding spiritually as a sheep, then whose fault is it? The enemies can't stop you from eating. Right here you're eating in the presence of your enemies. If the enemies can't stop you, and the shepherd specializes in providing food for the sheep, then if you're not feeding, whose fault is it? It's yours. It's your fault. Amen? Watch this right here. I like this. Basically what he was saying in verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He's saying, you feast, I'll fight. You feast, you eat, I'll take care of the enemy. Amen. You take care of the feast, I'll take care of the beast. I like that. Oh yes, the enemy don't like it. The enemy knows that if he can keep you from eating, it's a matter of time. You're going to get weak. That you're going to get sickly and vulnerable. I preached on wolves one time years ago here at the church, I believe it was. And I studied one writer about wolves. And it said that they had noticed that a wolf will follow, they will follow a flock of sheep for days on end. And said they can detect somehow, whether it's smell or sight or just sense, said they can sense sickness and weakness in a sheep before it is ever evident on the outside. And they will follow that sheep around, not make no advances, make no moves, but they just kind of keep their eye on it. Because they know it's just a matter of time till they can make their move. You know what your work, you know what you can do to put yourself into the actual jaws of the enemy? Quit eating. How many? We said, we asked Wednesday night. We asked Wednesday night how many could stand on the Wednesday night service and share of what God had given you out of your devotions that day. We had several. But I wonder how many in the service could not because they had not read the Word of God. And I'm not talking about just reading it. I'm talking about God giving you something out of it. God feeding you with it. God speaking to you with it. Amen? If you don't feed, you're playing into the enemy's desire. The devil might, listen, the shepherd, my friend, he knows that one of your greatest defense is to keep you eating. Prepares a table before you. If the enemy can get between you and your food, then he's got you. I'm talking about spiritually, not physically. The enemy wouldn't stand a chance of getting between you and your food physically. You'd bite his arm off, amen? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Come on now. Anybody get between us and the plate, they're in the danger zone, amen? That's right. You fool my fork, you're playing with destiny. Amen. That's right. Amen. You're able to draw back a nub. Amen. Put your finger in my plate, it's liable to have teeth marks on it. But how quick are we to get aggravated and about things that starts getting in between us and our spiritual plate? How many can go days and never read the Word of God? We all can, but I want to ask you, does it bother you? If you don't go eat physically, you don't eat, guess what happens? It won't be too many hours till you're going to get a signal coming out of your gut that says, I'm hungry. And if you get hungry enough, that will take priority over everything. You will stop whatever needs to be stopped. You'll put on the back burner whatever needs to be put on the back burner so you can go take care of that desire and that appetite. But we let anything and everything get between us and the spiritual food. The enemy's way. Let me say this, dear friend. God's people can still eat. Our country's a mess, but God's people can still eat. Because we're not feeding off the political world. We're feeding out of the spiritual world. No matter what shape our country gets in, we can still feed. No matter what shape even churches get in, individual sheep can still feed. Because our feeding is not physical, financial, material, or political, or national. Our feeding is spiritual. We don't feed from without, we feed from within. That's how God's people can, Brother Craig, can go through a drought, can go through a wilderness, and still make it because inside of us we're drinking from a well that is springing up on the inside. Let me move on and deal with the last couple things quickly. Not only do these, he deals with them with his appearance or intimidation, his aggression or confrontation, his arrangements or his preparation, but also, can I say, he deals with our enemy. Boy, I like this one. He deals with our enemies with anointing. Anointing. Thou anointest my head with oil. That oil does a number on the enemy. That oil, the enemy don't like that oil. Amen. The enemy don't like oily sheep. Oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. Being anointed with oil was what they did many times in the Old Testament for qualification for spiritual office. Samuel anointed David to be king. We're missing today that anointing that comes from the Holy Spirit of God. That oil, that anointing oil that comes from the Spirit of God on our life. That oil many times would have a fragrance about it. That when placed on a sheep, it would many times deter the approach of the enemy because they were trying to track sheep. Well, the devil would have a much harder time, Brother Brian, tracking us if we smelt like the rose of Sharon and the lily in the valley. Amen. If we wouldn't have the smell of the world, my friend, and let Jesus put His smell on us so where we'd be a good smell in His nostrils, I want to tell you, brother, it'd throw the enemy off track. It'd throw the enemy off track. There's external enemies. And there's internal enemies. There are parasites. Sheep can go into a bad, bad condition, even death, just through parasites. There's flies and gnats and all kinds of flying around, flying bugs. What's bugging you today? What's bugging you today? And sheep have a problem with bugs. These flies, these nose flies, and they would seek to put, and you know, listen, I found this out, they would target the head. They didn't target the foot. They didn't target the body. They targeted the head. They would seek to lay their eggs either in the eyes, ears, mouth, or nose. Are you listening? Because all of those not only are on their head, but are access points into their head. Said those flies would lay those eggs like on their nose, for example. And when those larvae would be born, those worms would crawl up through their sinuses and up through their nose and into their brain. And in their ears and go inside. The whole thing was to get inside. Those flies would say, my desire is to get my mind in. I want my attack to get inside. I can do it if I can get in through their eye gate or through their ear gate, what they look at and what they listen to. If I can go through their mouth and what they talk about. The devil targets our head. You know where our services are getting killed at? It's not after we gather here. It's before we gather here. And I tell you, services are dead because of the thought process and the thought line of God's people sitting on the pews. It would shock us all if God were to take the people here today and just all of a sudden put what you've been thinking about in this service on the wall. Amen. And it may not be that you're sitting here today thinking about some gross sin, but you might be thinking about work, or you might be thinking about some hobby, or you might be thinking about a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Now, I want to tell you, if you're thinking about things like that while preaching is going on, then that's sin. The devil targets, my friend, the mind, the head of the sheep. What you think about. Boy, there's a lot in the Bible. There's a whole lot in the Scripture about what you think about. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. You can't go from Sunday to Sunday, my friend, and never think about God, never think about the Bible, never think about the Holy Spirit, your spiritual life, and expect to come in here on Sunday morning and shout it out and have God just speak to you. That's a zone that I don't know anything about. I can see actions, but I can't see what you're thinking about. People a lot of times sit in church, and I've had them to tell me, I've found it out, and had them tell me that they're thinking very bad stuff. Having all kind of mental images and imaginations. And that's why it's vital and very important that, my friend, that we try to not only conduct ourselves, my friend, I'm talking about all of us, amen, male and female, need to conduct ourselves, and we need to make sure that we're clothed and dressed in a way that is not suggestive and it's not seductive and it's not, my friend, revealing. And why? Because, listen, people all around us, my friend, have got minds that are human minds that are corrupt by nature. I remember, it's been several years ago, I remember me and Brother Ivan went to a revival, I ain't going to say where, but we went to a revival around here, and I'm telling you, it was so indecent. The women and young ladies were so indecent that when they would sing, go to the choir, you'd have to look at the ceiling. In the house of God, that ain't right, friend. That ought not to be, and it's all a breakdown in the pulpit. A preacher won't preach it because his family ain't dressing right. Amen? I'm talking about our head, friend. Your brain might be sanctified, but mine's not. I'm still working on mine. I need all the help I can get. I need all the help I can get. How are you doing mentally? How many are here today mentally? You're here bodily. I don't have to ask that question. I can see. But are you here mentally? Is your mind engaged in this service? Is your mind attached to what's being preached? The whole target, my friend. Listen, the wolf, the coyote and the bear and all of those type enemies of the sheep, they're not after the head. They don't care what part they get as long as they get them. But the parasites and the flies and all them gnats and all that, they target the head. Why? There's access to the brain through the head, through those eyes and nose and so on. Are you listening? Yes, sir, that's right. Listen to this right here. Listen to this right here. Give me a few more minutes. Those flies, they target those areas, the ears and nose and so forth. And these flies seek to deposit that, and as a result, it will cause such an irritation to the sheep, it will cause such inflammation to the sheep, listen to this, that many times it will result in blindness. You ever heard a person go to church? I have. I've had them to tell me, preacher, I can't see that. Preach against sin, preach against worldliness and so forth, and they say, preacher, I don't see that. Duh. I can tell what's been flying around their head, amen? Causes blindness. Not only that, when those larvae and all that starts getting inside their head, it causes such an irritation and aggravation and inflammation that it causes sheep many times to beat their head against trees, rocks, posts, brush, the rocks, ground. I mean, beat their head. Trying to find relief. Trying to find relief, and they're willing to beat their head against things. Are you listening? In some cases, I found out also that they would rub their head in the dirt. They thought, to get relief, I got to get dirty. A sheep so irritated and aggravated because of the inward little little small pests and enemies that they thought they could get some help by wallowing their head in filth and the dirt. How many people in church thinks that's where their relief is at? Going through things and they think, man, I'm so irritated and aggravated and agitated and all them other aids, amen, that I think, man, my relief is going to come if I could just rub my head in something nasty. That's not your answer. I've had people to tell me, preacher, that got out of church. I mean, got out of church. They thought that would help them. They thought that would help them. There's people sitting right here, knows people in your life that has done that very thing. They think this is the answer. The pressure is enormous. So what do I need to do? I need to go rub my head in the dirt. Or I need to go beat my head upon a wall. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, that's not God. God is not in telling you to hurt yourself. That's all coming from the enemy. Watch this right here. I read it also, Brother Craig, that said that when the sheep gets that inflammation and that irritation in them because of those pests and those flies and that larva gets inside them, that they begin to erratically run from place to place. No aim, no direction, just aimless, erratic running. Just run here and run here and run there. Well, I've seen that over the years in the ministry. Preach, I'm leaving. Well, where are you going? I don't know. Huh? Run over yonder. These people used to be members of church here. Brother Craig, people used to be members of church here have been members of about five or six churches over in just a very short period of time. Run here, run there, run here, run there. It's not in the pulpit, it's in your head. You got head problems and you got heart problems. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about if you've got a liberal church and a compromising preacher, get out of there as fast as you can. Don't even tip your hat and say bye. I'm serious. If you're not being fed the Word of God and that church is not going in a direction that it ought to go in, find somewhere that is. But if you're not careful, the enemy will get on you so, my friend, and start trying to affect your mind and your head to where you start just erratically running from place to place. If you're not careful, that'll get in your home. That'll get in your home. And husbands will start thinking, you know what? I believe I just need to go out yonder and find another woman. And a wife just think, you know what? I just need to go find me another husband. Are you listening? Running from place to place. Watch this right here. Also, that their condition, Brother Rob, gets so bad, Brother Mark, studies show that, my friend, the condition gets to the place to where the sheep can no longer enjoy the green pastures and can no longer enjoy the shepherd and can no longer enjoy the flock. Well, preacher, I don't know what's happening to church. It just don't click with me no more. I know it's probably the church. God forbid it's you. It's got to be the whole church. It's got to be the preacher for sure. It can't be you. No. Huh? Hey, I'm talking about that's one of the things. They're getting in such a mess because of what's got in them. Amen. What got on them eventually got in them. What got on them eventually got in them and started controlling how they think, and they become so agitated and so aggravated and so irritated, my friend, that the point is they could no longer enjoy what the shepherd was doing. Better watch it when the enemy starts taking the joy out of serving God and living for Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Did you know they found out as well that when their heads got anointed with oil, that was the only answer. That shepherd knew the only answer for the parasites was to anoint their head with oil because the enemy don't like that oil.
Amen. That fly buzzing around your head and think, well, I'm just going to plant all of my little ones of wickedness in your mind and I'm going to control your mind. And they're flying around you and all of a sudden they notice you're anointed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. They get to noticing that you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to tell you, they'll fly somewhere else. Amen. Your survival, brother, is in your anointing. How many people in churches today know anything about the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God? Very few people. Amen. Said that soon as they put this anointing oil on those sheep, soon as it's applied, immediately their behavior changes. Immediately they start finding relief. Immediately, thank God, because of the oil, of that anointing oil put on their head, immediately they find relief. Why? The parasites and those enemies cannot handle the oil. Here's what I'm saying. I know I preach long, but I want you to listen to this. The best thing you can do when the enemies is trying his best to ruin your life, destroy your spiritual life, best thing you can do is get as spiritual as you can get. Get as full of the Holy Spirit, get as full of the Holy Spirit as you can get. Because that anointing oil is what will be a deterrent from the parasites and the enemies that would try to get in your mind. You don't think that's where our battle's at? What do you think the Bible said there? 2 Corinthians, is it? Where Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing into captivity every thought into obedience to Christ. A lot of people's defeated right here. I know I have been over the years many times, not what was happening, just what I was imagining. Amen. Many times they would do that. And the frenzy and the irritability and the aggravation and the restlessness of the sheep would start to cease. I know what some of you are thinking. You know, if irritability can be taken care of with oil, I'm going to get a case at Walmart. Amen. But they get relief. The sheep gets relief when that anointing oil gets on them because it starts dealing with the problem. Running's not the problem. The oil is the solution. Let me give you this right here. Not only, I like this, not only is there the enemy of the flies, but there are also the enemy called the scabs. Scabs. Now the flies focus on the head. Scabs focus on the head and body. And they said in this summertime it was scab time, and this was an irritation that was highly contagious, and said that sheep loved to rub heads, and as a result, the contagious. The problem spreads. It spreads. They're putting their heads together. One gets infected and all of a sudden he's putting his head with other heads. Gets other people thinking the way he's thinking. Get other people to listen to what his thoughts are. And they're rubbing heads and they're putting heads together and all of a sudden you've got a whole church that's contaminated. Are you listening? The scabs begin to show up on the surface all over their body. And if not stopped by the anointing oil, it will spread through the entire flock. Not just over the whole body, but in through the entire flock. It said that many of those sheep herders would have big vats that when those scabs starts, that also was caused by parasites, would have to run and dip the sheep into those vats. The whole body, head and all, dunk them underneath. Because they said that's the only thing that can fix it. Boy, we need to be anointed from head to toe. I mean, we need to be anointed from head to toe. That's right. Amen. Not just the head, but the whole body. Each and every one of them. They wouldn't let not one little one get by. Not one mama get by. Not one daddy get by. Not one. Every one had to be anointed. What would happen to RBT if every person, every member was anointed with the Holy Ghost? So the first reason they needed their head anointed was because of the flies. Second, because of the scab time or the scab problem. But thirdly, because of the head button. And I'm done with this. Certain times of the year, they start butting heads. And that shepherd knew that as a result of that, damage and injury and wounds would occur. So the shepherd would take that oil and anoint their heads so that when they hit heads or bumped heads, that oil was like a lubricant and it would just slide off and they wouldn't get hurt. Boy, we need the anointing oil of the Holy Ghost, amen, in our church to keep down rivalry. Amen. Keep down jealousy. They're not playing. They're trying to establish rank. They're trying to establish who's going to be the big dog. Who's going to be the daddy rabbit? Who's going to be the big cheese? They're trying to determine who's the greatest among us. That's what the disciples asked Jesus, who's the greatest? They want to know who's the greatest, and they're butting heads. The way I'm going to be the greater is that I'm going to have to whip you. I'm going to butt my head on your head. I'm going to put you down. I'm going to talk bad about you. And I'm going to put you, amen? And by putting you down, I'm elevating myself. But that oil put on their head kept them from winning. That neither one of them would win when they were anointed. When we're all anointed, there's nobody winning. The shepherd wins. It keeps down rivalry and jealousy and ill will and battles and fightings. You say, preach it, don't have in church. Have you not been to church much? Have you not read the book of James chapter 4? Where comes the wars and fightings among you? Talking to believers. Now, I don't like it, and I hate it. I hate confrontation. I despise it. I avoid it if at all possible. But if it requires to stand, amen, and deal with truth, I will. But I hate confrontation. I hate fights. I hate battles. I hate it. Don't you? I've seen people I think like it. It's always tearing a church up. Always destroying. I've had people, over the years, I've been here 18 and a half years, and I've had people to tell me, preach, you better watch so-and-so that maybe come from another church. And most of the time I'll call and check them out, you know. And they'll say, preach, you better watch so-and-so. They caused trouble. They caused trouble here. They didn't leave right. I said, they didn't leave right? No, they didn't leave right. I said, well, I'll deal with that. And I have dealt with that. One in case, a preacher told me that, and I went straight to that person. They wanted to join the church. I said, look, you're going to have to get that straight before you come here. I said, that preacher said you didn't leave right. I don't know what the problem is. I don't want to know the details. I'm depressed enough. I said, you're going to have to call him. You're going to have to go meet with him, and y'all get this ironed out, and get all that taken care of, and then you come. We don't need you to bring all this excess baggage. Amen. And he did that. Well, glory. Head button. That anointing oil takes care of it. It prevents injury. To be anointed prevents injury. I'm glad Jesus can take care of our enemies. That's what this verse is saying. You got any enemies? You got something going on in your life? The answer to your survival is spiritual. That anointing oil, that oil is a type of the spiritual life, being anointed with oil. And where it said that my cup runneth over, that shows an abundance. An abundance. More than you need. Pursue the spiritual life. Let's all stand on our feet. Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to thank You today for speaking to our hearts and helping us and Lord, challenging us as well. And Lord, I'm glad today that You have made the provisions to take care of every enemy. Lord, we don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live down in the dumps because we've been given victory. Lord, there's people here today, members and possibly visitors as well, that things are bugging them. The enemies is trying to cause problems, irritation and aggravation and even contamination in their lives. And Lord, we don't war against flesh and blood. People are not our enemy. But our enemy, Lord, is spiritual warfare. Help us, dear Lord, to seek to be anointed with oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit. The oil of gladness. And those flies and those parasites that causes so much problems and even death to sheep cannot live in that oil. Cannot live where that oil's at. Help us, I pray, this morning. Help every young lady, every young man here this morning to know that their only hope of survival is to have that oil of the Holy Spirit on their life. That anointing of the Spirit of God, that touch of God on their life. The joy of being saved is not just being saved, it's being right with God. Pursuing a spiritual life, submitting to His will, desiring to be used of the Master. Lord, take the message today and use it for Your glory, I pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.